Blog Talk Radio.
Down in Alabama and Georgia.
hear voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool off. Our only answer in conversation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here, and we want all of them not next year, not next week, but we want them now, at this hour. This is what we're going to
say. What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Once again, it is Saturday night, and it is experiencing spiritual unity and meditation with the man himself, Dr. Benjamin Bridges, and give him a nice welcome to the studio. Y'all know how y'all do it.
Yes, indeed, my brother. Glad to be on another day for the show, and we're going to be getting to, first of all, I just want to say to everyone, peace and blessings to everyone, and know that we are in a new year and that we really should be focusing on the fact that this is the year that's going to bring some positives and great opportunities our way. But we have to believe that these things can come about. And a good thing about it is that, you know, in us coming together, as we've always spoken about in the past, coming together in unity, we're going to be able to really bring some things together to bring about some positive change in our community. But now, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was, you know, a situation with, you know, our former black president, Obama. And basically, he was working on a mission to see about the reparation money here in this country for our people, to see if we could get, you know, a decent portion of money, not, you know, $5 or $6 or $15 or $20 or, you know, $300 or $500 each person. But we were talking about, you know, each person would be getting like about $4 million, $5 million. And that's not bad with the reparation money. But the only thing right now is just to give everybody an update, because some of you might not even know that what Biden did, he said that he was going to give $50 billion to the different countries in Africa and try to help them out, you know, because of what happened during slavery and all of that, where, you know, our people suffered immense and negative, terrible situations that, you know, were being done to us. You know, many were murdered, you know, and slaughtered and, you know, tortured and all kind of crazy things that were going on during that time period. But the bottom line was, you know, the American government said, hey, you know what, we need to get some money back to them for what we did to them. So that was good that they were willing to do that for the continent of Africa. But now we're looking at a situation here in America for African Americans that live here. And what are you going to do for us? Because we went through that even more so, you know, in regards to dealing with slavery and things like that. Because when our people were brought from Africa into America, the slavery was really here in America, you know, where we were dealing with that for about 250 years. And people, that's one of the reasons why America became one of the most wealthiest countries in the world, because they had people working for 250 years for free. So again, that was good what Biden did in regards to dealing with Africa with $50 billion. But what is he going to do for the African American? And what I said with earlier in regards to Obama, what he was looking at doing was seeing what he could do to work with Congress to see about getting, you know, a bill or law passed that will allow us to get the reparation money of the $4 or $5 million for each person. And that's an African American citizen. And basically, that's a good thing. But again, the big problem with that is that right now, that in Congress, the Republicans have dominated, you know, the Congress. And being that they have dominated it, we already know by the history of the Republicans that the last thing that the Republicans want to do is to help black people out. And for us to get $4 or $5 million apiece for the reparation money, I know that they wouldn't even want to give 5 cents or 10 cents to black people for that, you know, let alone $4 or $5 million. So basically, right now, I'm wondering whether Obama has thrown in the towel and said, oh, shoot, the Republicans took over Congress, forget it. Or whether he's saying, no, you know what I need to do now? I need to go and speak to Biden and see him, being that he gave money to the Africans, will he give money to the African-Americans? And if he will give money to the African-Americans, how much will he give? So anyway, this is something that's on the table right now. And, you know, we need to find out from Obama what he has decided to do, whether he has thrown in the towel and said forget it, or whether he is thinking about going to Biden and seeing if he would be, you know, willing to give some additional money to our people. Because even with that $4 or $5 million, you're just looking at, that's about $500 million that would be given out, you know, to the African-American, which is not $50 billion. But for each one to get $4 or $5 million, that would is what it would be. But there's about, you know, a 40 million, you know, African-Americans here in this country. And when you do the math on that, that's what it comes out to, about $400, $500 million. But anyway, make a long story short, that is what we're looking at. But the bottom line is, will Biden even do it? I mean, you know, it's nice that he wanted to help the Africans out, but I don't see how he could help the Africans out. And then when it comes to the African-Americans, say, what? Help these guys out here in this country? I'm not helping them, even though they voted me into office. And, you know, I did, you know, actually be the vice president of a black president here in the United States, which is Obama. And I even have a black, you know, assistant, you know, vice president, you know, that I'm working with. And so I've been working with black people, but to give them money and help them out? No, I don't want to do that. So I'm hoping that's not where his head is at. And I do hope that Obama is going to speak to Biden and see what's happening with that. Because for him to continue to try to see what the good old Congress is going to do, that's going to be a waste of time. Because the Republicans definitely, through the history and the track record of where they're coming from and how they've been dealing with black people over the years, they definitely don't want to help out our people. So, you know, for Obama to continue on with that doesn't even make any sense. But for him to go to Biden and speak to him about this would be a good idea for him to do, because it's, you know, a possibility that Biden would say, hey, you know what? They're right. I just can't help the Africans out, and then put my middle finger up to the African-Americans and say, nah, I ain't helping you guys, you know. So I'm hoping really that Biden will take in consideration that, you know, we should be helped, especially, you know, the fact that we did reach out and help Biden. You know, when he was running for, you know, the president election, the majority of our people voted for him and reached out to him to become president. And he became president. But a portion of him becoming president came due because we gave, you know, like I said, 90% of our people voted for him. And being that they did, you know, basically that put him in the White House as president. So now for him to give that money to us from the reparation money would be a decent way for him to, you know, help us out as well, just like we helped him out. So I don't see why he would say, no, I don't have nothing to do with help you guys out. Even though you helped me out become president, I don't want to have nothing to do with helping you guys. So I'm hoping that that's not going to be his response. I'm hoping his response is going to be, you know what, I did a nice thing in helping out the Africans with the $50 billion, but now I'm definitely going to see what I can do to help you guys out. And it's not like he got to give us $50 billion as well. Not so much that I wouldn't want him to do that. If he would be willing to give, you know, African-Americans $50 billion, that would be great. But, you know, even if he did get, you know, the $4 or $5 million each that was supposed to be given to African-Americans, then that would be a whole other story. But if we were going to get, you know, $2 or $3 billion each, which really, after all that we went through in slavery, I wouldn't, you know, be angry to see that come about at all. You know, I'd be glad to see that. But the bottom line is that, being that, you know, is the case, I do believe that, you know, with just the $500 million or the $400 million, that would be something that, you know, would be more, you know, realistic in us receiving, you know. And that's just, like I said, it's just if Biden is even willing to give it. And I'm hoping he's not playing the game of politics, telling us that, yeah, you guys vote for me, and I'm going to look out for you guys, and don't you worry, I'm going to help you guys out. And then when, you know, a lot of times when you're playing the game of politics, it's a situation where once you get into that office, whether it's being a president, a congressman, a senator, a lot of times people get amnesia, you know, right after they get into office, like, what? I told you I was going to do that? I never said I was going to do that, you know. And that's on television. That's on at different, you know, political events that were going on in different parts of the country where you had large numbers of people heard what you said, and now you're going to say you never said it, you know. And, you know, these are things that, you know, come through with politics, but with people that are seriously going to keep their word on what they said they're going to do, and that's a whole nother situation. When you are truly looking at, you know, being a person that is a true word keeper, that's going to say, hey, you do put me in office and I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to do this, that, and the other, and then when you get in office, they follow through. But unfortunately, a lot of times, people don't come through. But I'm hoping this time with Biden that he does come through in regards to helping African Americans out as well, because we did help him out. And if he wants to pay us back for helping him out, he needs to do something with the reparation money to help us out. But anyway, that's something that I definitely wanted to share with you guys to give you an update on what's happening, because, like I said, you know, Congress, you know, in the past has been dominantly controlled by the Democrats. But right now the Republicans control it. So for Obama's mission to get a law or a, you know, bill passed where we could actually get reparation money through the Republicans, it's not going to happen. Because like I said, the Republicans' track record, you know, has shown over the years that they definitely do not want to help black people, you know, unfortunately. And that's where they've been coming from. And the Democrats have been saying they want to help black people. But unfortunately, with the game of politics, a lot of them, instead of giving us a slice of the cake, they've been just throwing crumbs off the table to us. Because when you look in our community and you see how, you know, devastated our community is, you know, and how much suffering and poverty and many other ways our people are going through serious changes, most of this is because, you know, the politics of really following through to be a blessing to our people is not real. It's a situation where people will promise you all kind of stuff, but then when they get into office, they won't do it. But there are those folks that have helped us out from the Democratic Party, and I really give thanks for them coming forward, like, you know, President Kennedy. President Kennedy, you know, was a president that actually gave us our civil rights. And I must admit that Martin Luther King was one of the people that spoke to Kennedy on three different occasions. He had meetings with Kennedy and spoke with him about us being able to get our civil rights. And, you know, a racist president wouldn't even have one meeting with, you know, Martin Luther King. He would have came up with all these excuses on why he was so busy and couldn't speak with him. But Kennedy was willing to talk with him about it, which was a positive sign that he might even be willing to do something about it. And, you know, the thing about it was, after a period of time, he contemplated that in his mind and said, you know what, it wouldn't be a bad situation to actually deal with that. And I'm going to go ahead and do that, give black people their rights as citizens here in the United States. And he did. Now, those that citizen rights, you know, for us to be 100% citizens, just like white people on this country, started to fade out after a period of time, you know, and even to this day, you know, that 100% is not even real, because in certain states, some blacks cannot even vote, you know, which is crazy. But one of the things that Kennedy did, which I, you know, didn't even know anything about, but it was in South Carolina, and, you know, there was a big protest where there was about five or six black schools that went before one of the cities, you know, of South Carolina, and they did a protest there. And when they did do that protest, the mayor of that city was very upset about the fact that, what, these guys are saying they want us to allow them to come into our white colleges and to our white high schools and all of that. Right now, there's a brick wall that says they can't come into any of this stuff. Man, we're going to arrest all of these knuckleheads. And that's what they ended up doing. They arrested all of the high school students that were there, that protested there in front of that city hall, and they threw them all in prison. And then he actually called Kennedy, the mayor, and he told him, he said, listen, you know, these guys were totally crazy, because we already told them what they can and can't do. They cannot come into our colleges. They cannot come into our high school restaurants or hotels, anything like that. We do not want these knuckleheads to do that. And how dare they come to me as a mayor and protest in front of me and tell me that we should change that and allow them to go into black, white colleges and go into, you know, white high schools and, you know, share this with them, that they should be able to go into elementary schools and all this kind of crazy stuff. We don't want them in here. You know what we're getting ready to do, Kennedy? We're getting ready to take them all out of prison this weekend. And what we're going to do, being that they wanted to show a sign of what, you know, should be done, we're going to show them a sign that we're going to kill all of those youth. There's about 500 of them, and we're going to murder all of them. And then what ended up happening, you know, when he told that to Kennedy, Kennedy said, what? He said, you want to murder all these teenage kids out of the high school because they just were telling you how upset they were about, you know, the segregation, that you guys won't allow them into their schools and everything? He said, that doesn't even make any sense. That would make America look like the most racist country in the world. And he said, man, don't you do that. And what he ended up doing, he sent his army of people down there and forced them to release those students out of prison and don't kill them. So he did that, but he also said, you know what, because this is getting so crazy with our people, I'm going to give them their black people their civil rights and allow them to get equal rights with our people. And, you know, that piece there that happened in South Carolina, you know, that was really, really, I'm glad that Kennedy did stand up to that, because to see a ton of black students machine gunned down, you know, in front of City Hall to show that if you guys keep doing crazy stuff like asking us to, you know, stop our racism against you, then basically, you know, more anybody that does this kind of protesting is going to be murdered, just like these students here. But Kennedy stopped that, and he said, no, I'm not going to allow that to happen. And you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to give the civil rights, the equal rights of black people to be citizens in the United States, I'm going to give it to them. Because if I don't, I know that other situations are going to pop up, and these whether it's kids or adults or whatever, there's going to be large amounts of black people that are going to be murdered and killed because they are doing a lot of marches and protests now in different parts of the country. And if, you know, the racist whites do want to, you know, start murdering black people, then this is going to be something that's really going to be, you know, very bad look on our people. So I'm going to end all of this and give them their civil rights. And I'm really glad that Kennedy did do that. But the only problem was not only did they kill Kennedy after he did that, but they also killed his brother because his brother was going to look like he was going to be the one to actually win the next election there. And for him to become the next president, they didn't really want that to come about. So they actually killed his brother as well, which was really sad to see that both of them got murdered, even though they did a positive and nice thing for our people. But still in all, you know, that came out of the Democrats, that they were there to help our people and gave us our equal rights here in this country. And at least the Democrats did show at different times that they were here to help us, but it's not consistent. That's the only thing. And up to this time, like I said, you know, unfortunately, instead of Democrats really reaching out to help our people, you know, you see a lot of them, instead of giving us a slice of the pie or the cake, they're giving us crumbs off the table. And these are things that really aren't good for us to be involved with, you know, in regards to dealing with things like this. You know, we need to have a better situation. And that's one of the reasons why, again, you know, we need to come together not only and physically to vote for different, you know, Democrats to bring them into office and then wonder why we don't get the good results that we really would like to get. But the other side of it is that what would be good for us to do as well is to come together in spiritual unity. But spiritual unity is something that really needs to come about in our country as well. But if we're just going to look at things from the physical viewpoint and not really look at it from the spiritual viewpoint, that's not a good thing. But that's something that we definitely need to really take a serious look at, because in so doing, you know, through spirituality, we can definitely bring positive things about as well. And some of you that might be saying, really, spirituality, get out of here, man. You know, and one of the things that, you know, like I said, I've even experienced, you know, over the years is that in coming together in spiritual unity, we were able to really bring about some great and positive things for our community as well. And one of those things was ending the gang wars in our community. And I'm really very thankful that, you know, Jesus came to us and shared with us a spiritual formula on that. Because when he did do that, it actually assisted us in saving the lives of many of our youth that were being murdered because our gangs, our youth gangs were actually killing each other left and right, and it was really getting crazy. But the bottom line was, when Jesus came through with that spiritual formula and actually shared that with me, and then we focused on seeing an ending of the gang wars coming about, it shows right there that spirituality can definitely be a very powerful way to end a lot of the negativity that we're seeing in our community. And that opportunity was a blessing because over 10 years, you know, that death rate, especially in Mount Vernon, you know, schools, there was no more murdering in the schools for that time period, 10 years. And, you know, when, you know, we started with that, it was like 18 to 20 kids, you know, that were murdered in that first year. And that was in 2008. And then in 2009, you know, they had 15 or 16 kids that got killed. But the bottom line was that, you know, we you know, were able to bring it down to zero in 2010. And I was really glad to see that. But, you know, we didn't get any awards or anything in 2010, but they just noticed, oh, shoot, you know, this whole year there was no murders. That's good. But they wanted to make sure, and I can understand where they were coming from, but they were saying, listen, in 2010 there's no murders. That's 1 year. But is the gang wars going to start up again in 2011? You want awards for us to give you something, and you didn't even do nothing, you know, but just for a year? So the bottom line was people were waiting to see if our program could be something positive that can continue to bring about no more violence of murdering and killing each other in these gang wars that were going on back in 2008 and 9. And anyway, make a long story short, you know, when I did get awards, that was back in 2015. So 5 years had passed, and there was no murdering going on in the school. And I was cool, and I was really glad to see that. And then I got awards from senators, congressmen, mayors. I got awards from county legislators. I got awards from superintendent of schools and so forth. But the bottom line was that what made it really a powerful message from God and Christ was that if you truly have faith that the ability of your spiritual power and our spiritual power is something that you could utilize to actually bring about positive change. Because, like I said, I give all honor and praise to Jesus for sharing that information with us. Because that spiritual formula was nothing that I made up or anything like that. That was all through Jesus the Christ. And being that it came through him, and we actually put that spiritual formula into play, that was how we got the positive results, because it actually worked. And I was really glad to see for 10 years after we ended the gang wars that it didn't just end for a year or two and then start back up. But we're talking about 10 years later, it was still no violence. But during that 10th year, that was the time when our program, you know, did leave the schooling system. And one of the main reasons was because financially, you know, the schools and the city and things like that, they did not want to give any money towards paying us for helping to stop the violence and ending, you know, the murdering of our kids. And the murders of the lives of our kids do matter. And that's the thing. If you got a program that's working and can keep nonviolence from happening, then I don't even understand why that wouldn't be a thing where our people would not want to pay that person so that they can continue on with the program. But because they weren't paying, it was a big sacrifice that was going on, because what was literally happening was a situation where, you know, financing was very little that was coming through at that time. And I was, you know, through grant money and, you know, donations and things of that sort. But it was just a few thousand dollars that, you know, we were receiving. But, you know, the thing about it was if we were getting paid, then basically I would still have been in the, you know, system to deal with that even longer. But anyway, make a long story short, you know, right now what we are really looking for is to not only just end the wars here in New York, but we're looking at doing it nationwide. And that's something that we can do. But we need, once again, to come through spiritually in unity so that we can once again end the negativity that we see in our community. And what I would like to do now, if there are any folks that would like to, you know, comment on some of the things that we spoke about, which is, you know, the Republicans dominating the Congress and Obama with his mission to actually, you know, see if he can get a bill or a law to be passed where we would be able to get our reparation money. And the other thing is, through spirituality, not only physically voting for people into office and hoping that they're going to do the right thing to help us out and keep their word, but also spiritually we can come together as well. And in that happening, then that would be a good thing as well for us to do, because we can get good results out of coming together in unity to pray, to do fasting, to do meditation, and focus on seeing some great and positive things come about. And they will come about. But the bottom line is we have to believe with it, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God and Jesus can truly, truly help us out. But anyway, that's what we spoke on. And right now, if anybody has any comments on that, or any feedback, positives, or hopefully, you know, that would be a good thing. And we'll see what we can do in regards to, you know, hearing from different folks that may have something to say. So, Brother Ron, if you have some folks that are interested in speaking, go ahead.
They're not there now.
Oh, okay. No problem with that, then. Because there was another thing I wanted to do. But did you have anything you wanted to say at this point yourself, or what?
No, you're on point. You're on point. You're correct. I mean, I'm going to try 111111 if you want to open up your mic and talk to the people about your concerns. You're on with Dr. Benjamin Bridges. 111111. Okay. They're not there.
Mm-hmm. No problem. They probably don't want to make a comment at this time. No problem with that. But anyway, was there anyone else? Or that was basically it right now?
Not at the moment. We can keep on with the commentary.
Oh, you got me all on?
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, what I wanted to do at this time is, you know, also speak on one of the things that, you know, I really do feel is important right now. And, you know, as we spoke about it before, which is really important is the ending the violence and, you know, trying to bring our people out of poverty and, you know, the pain and suffering of dealing with that. Because a lot of times when people are in serious poverty problems, you know, that's when they get caught up into doing things that are negative, you know, because they try the positive things and they, you know, to get a job, a good paying job, they try to, you know, really see if they could get a house or apartment, and they're out on the streets. And so they're living a lot of times in serious problems that are causing them to actually get into things like stealing and robbing and things of that sort, and then they end up in jail or even selling drugs and things like that. But when you have a system that is rigged against you and they're really not there for you as a people, then a lot of times your people do end up in desperate situations where they're not going to be able to really successfully achieve much success as far as coming out of poverty, as far as making sure they're not caught up into going into jail, as far as not becoming alcoholics and drug addicts and things of that sort. So the good thing about it is that, you know, right now, what we do want to do, again, is come together in unity so that we can deal with things politically, and to, you know, even do marches and protests and things like that, so we can bring about some positive change. That's one thing that's for real. Because when Martin Luther King was around, that was one of the things he did. And he was not just a politician, but he was a reverend at a church, you know. And being that he was, he tried his best to get a number of different churches together to support his movement and what he was trying to do. And not only did they deal with it from that standpoint, but they also got together and prayed together that Jesus and God would bless them to knock down this wall of hatred and anger against our people that wouldn't even allow our people to have, you know, much respect towards them. And basically, Martin, I do thank God that the Lord brought him to stand up and actually be about wanting to even make sacrifice his life for his people, because he knew as a black leader, if he was really going to try to bring about positive change for our people, that there was a chance that he might have even been murdered or killed. But the good thing about this was that he said, hey, forget about that. I'm not going to worry about whether I'm going to be killed or not. He said, the bottom line is I'm on a mission to help my people, and I'm going to do everything I can to help them. And that's what he did. Because if he was really worried about, you know, oh, shoot, man, these guys are threatening me, and they're telling me if I keep this up, they're going to kill me and all that kind of crazy stuff. You know, if he was really worried about that kind of stuff, he would have bailed out a long time ago, and he would have never followed through with the things that he was trying to do. But the beautiful thing about it, he was a brother that was dedicated to God and Christ and to helping the lives of our people. And that was the beautiful thing about him coming together and helping to bring our people together in unity. And that was really a good thing. But anyway, at this point, what I wanted to do also is not just speak about the political side on what we need to do in coming together, but as I mentioned before, something that is very powerful and that is very much needed, and that is coming together spiritually to actually end these gang wars with our kids throughout black communities, also end poverty, and to start to see prosperity and wealth flowing into our communities. And the thing about it is, I know for some people it's like, what, you think that we could do that spiritually? We can't do that, you know. And I understand why some people feel that way, and that's mainly because of the negative ways that our people have been brainwashed to believe that in regards to God and Christ, or even with the law, or whether it's with Lord Jehovah, whatever you want to call your spiritual path, the bottom line is that, you know, if you have been brainwashed into believing that spiritually you'll never be able to bring positive change into your lives, then guess what? You're right. You won't be able to bring it because you don't believe you can. But if you can start to believe it from your heart and mind being open to the spiritual power of God and Christ and utilizing that power to bring about positive change into our community, then those are the things that can truly happen. But we have to believe it in order to achieve it. And that's something that we really need to see it and believe it, and then we're going to receive it. But if we're going to keep our minds in a down and out and negative mindset, then that's where our situations are going to go. They're going to go down and out. But if we can keep our minds up on high, that's when our goals and dreams can really fly. And one of the other things that's important is to know that if we can believe this beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God and Jesus is truly here to bless us and help us out, then that's what's going to happen. We are going to be blessed through God and Christ. But the bottom line is, again, we need to be strong believers, come together in unity, and pray, fast, and meditate and visualize the new reality of God. Great blessings coming into our lives. And if we can see it and believe it, then we definitely will receive it. Anyway, at this point, I did have a person that I wanted to actually come and do the meditation and prayer with us. And basically, they're going to start off with the prayer. And shortly after that, I'm going to do the meditation right after they finish the prayer. So anyway, here we go. And all I can say is I'm glad to see that we're going to come together in unity, spiritually and physically, from a practical viewpoint and from a spiritual viewpoint. And in us coming together on those two powerful notes, that's going to really bring about some very powerful and wonderful results coming back into our community. So hold on for a minute, and here we go.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, once again, we want to say thank you, God. Lord, we thank you for another day. We thank you for another night, God. So, Lord, we just thank you right now, God, that people come together as one, God. So, God, we just praise you, God. We magnify and we glorify you, God. In the name of Jesus, that no weapon formed against y'all should prosper. Oh, God, we just thank you for the blessings, God, the unity, the coming together, bringing people back together in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so here we go. So right now what I'm looking at is getting ready to do three deep breaths. And then we're going to go into the meditation. And what the three deep breaths do, it just helps you to raise your consciousness to higher heights in God and Christ. And then we can move forward into the meditation and be right on point. Yes, indeed. Okay, so here we go. So we're going to start off with the first breath. Breathe in deep. All peace. Calm and total relaxation. Yes, indeed. Now we're going to breathe out all negative thoughts, feelings, tension, anger. Let all of it go. Let it all go. Let it all go. Yes, indeed. We're going to let it go, and now we're going to see our second breath come about. As we breathe in deep again, breathe in deep, and we're going to breathe in the power of forgiveness. And that forgiveness is forgiving and loving ourselves, and also any self-hatred or negativity. We're going to breathe that out now. Breathe out whatever negativity that you may feel about yourself, and don't let it linger on with you. Because these are some of the things that hold us back from being able to achieve great and wonderful opportunities that can come our way and great blessings that come into our possession. Because if you feel you're unworthy of receiving a blessing, then guess what? You won't receive it. But if you will open your mind and heart and allow yourself to receive it because you believe that you do love yourself, and you are worthy of receiving a great blessing, then basically that's what's going to come about. So all I can say at this time is that I am very, very thankful to see that we can come together in unity to actually bring about a new reality, and that's God's reality. But again, we need to really start to see some positive things come about, and we can definitely do that. Okay, so now we're going to do the third breath. Breathe in deep. And that third breath is knowing that we have the spiritual power of God. And that spiritual power, it says in the Holy Book, the Bible, that the Holy Ghost is connected to the spiritual power of God. And as we allow the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost to enter into our being, it will empower us to overcome all the negativity of the past and allow us to resurrect ourselves to the mountaintop of success where we will achieve our very, very best. That's right. It can come about like that, but we have to believe it in order to receive it. And these are things that we can definitely, definitely do. But we have to see it, believe it, in order to receive it. And we have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God and Jesus is truly here to help us out. But we have to start to see ourselves from a positive mindset. No longer see ourselves as losers, but see ourselves as winners that have the ability and that are worthy of receiving great blessings and opportunities that can truly change our lives and change our community. But how can we ever deal with receiving any of that if we're going to say, no, man, I think about what I did in the past and it was not really good, and I know God don't want to bless me. He don't want to forgive me, and I know people that are upset with me, and yeah, because they are, I'm never going to get any blessings, and I'm never going to. If you think like that from a down-and-out perspective, again, that's what you're going to have, a down-and-out situation where you are going to go down and out with additional negative problems that don't need to be coming your way. But because you see yourself in that situation, then that's what's going to be there for you. But if you can start to see yourself in a positive mindset, if you can start to keep your mind up on high, then like we said before, your goals and dreams are going to start to fly. But you have to see yourself in a positive mindset of God in Christ and know that your blessing is here. It is about to come your way. And once you bring it your way, you're going to start to see some positive and wonderful things come about beyond the shadow of a doubt. But if you're going to just see yourself from a negative perspective and a down-and-out perspective, then that's basically what you're going to attract into your life.
Amen.
And we need to turn all of that negative thinking totally around. And once we start to turn it around and start to see ourselves in a positive mindset of God, then that's when positivity will start to come our way, and we will receive a great and wonderful blessing that we will definitely have in our possession. And it's not even a question of, well, it might happen or maybe it will. It will definitely happen, but you have to be a strong believer to believe that it can definitely come about. And you have to show love for yourself. But if there's nothing but self-hatred in you and you're just a few steps away from committing suicide or feeling all of this woe is me negativity conversations that you keep having with yourself, you know, then basically it's just going to bring you into a deeper depth of negativity. But we have to start to see things from a positive mindset. And once we start to see ourselves in that space, then that's where we're going to really start to see some positive results come our way. And we're going to have a wonderful and positive brand new day. But we have to believe it in order to receive it. So all I can say at this point, what I would like each and every one of you to do at this time is to find a comfortable sitting position and close your eyes. That's right, because when you're getting ready to do a meditation and your eyes are open, it's going to be not effective, that tough at all, because what you're doing with meditation, you're going within. And when you're going within, you know, the dweller of your inside is God in Christ, because the temple of God, I don't know if you ever read this in the Bible, but the temple of God is supposed to be your body. And God says he dwells within that temple, within your heart. But the bottom line is that what activates the Holy Ghost, what activates the power of God and Jesus the Christ within you is when you are in the open to seeing the inner portion of who you are and how God dwells there and is trying to help you out so that you can definitely be blessed to rise up out of poverty, out of a negative mindset into a positive mindset, to a prosperous and positive and wonderful life that you can live. But the bottom line is, are you going to be open-minded? Or are you going to cling on to the negative mindset of Satan that is going to just keep you thinking in a negative state of mind? Let it all go and set yourself free. And what's the old saying? Let go and let God. Let go of all the negativity of the past and let God bless you. And that's what this is all about, letting God bless you by letting go and letting God. And once we do that, we're going to start to see God's new reality blessing you in your life. And that's when we're going to start to see God's new reality in your life, a great and wonderful blessed life that can really achieve great success. And you're going to see this come about without a doubt. So here we go. What I would like you to do once again is close your eyes, find a comfortable sitting position. And now from there, what we're going to do is focus on seeing a very, very bright light that is shining very brightly, 7 times brighter than the sun, that is shining above your head right now. And that light, divine love of God and divine love of Christ Jesus, Jesus the Christ. The bottom line is that in that light now entering into your mind, see it slowly but surely going into your mind, that bright light, and filling every single cell in your mind. And as it fills every single cell in your mind, it is cleansing your mind. It is purifying your mind. It is reprogramming your mind with confidence. It is reprogramming your mind with knowingness. And when I say knowing, I'm talking about knowing and confidence that you are worthy of being a true son or daughter of God that can accomplish great and wonderful things in your life. But if you're going to see yourself as a woe is me person that can never do this, that, and the other, then that's a whole nother story. But you have to bring yourself out of that negativity and start to see yourself shining brightly in God's new reality. And all of this, again, will definitely come about by allowing the very powerful spiritual power of God, which is his divine love and Jesus' divine love, flowing through every cell in your mind, reprogramming your mind, cleansing your mind, and healing your mind from all negativity of the past. Now we're starting to see that same bright light shining 7 times brighter than the sun flowing into your heart. And as it flows into your heart, all negative emotions, all negative feelings and desires are totally being erased from your heart. That's right. All of that negativity is totally being cleansed, totally being removed, totally being replaced by the divine love of God in Christ. And being that that is the case, we're starting to see God's new reality. And I am very, very glad to see that God's new reality is here for you and me. But the only thing we have to do is see it, believe it, and we will achieve it and receive it. That's right. So right now, what I would like you to do is see that bright light shining from the crown of your head to the bottom of your feet. Every single cell in your body is now shining brightly in the divine love of God and the divine love of Christ. And that bright light that is shining so powerfully within you is transforming you from negativity to positivity, from being a limited human being to being a God being, a son of God or a daughter of God that is now being empowered by the Holy Spirit, by the awesome and amazing power of God, so that we can actually utilize God's power to bring about a blessing for our community and the world community. That's right. We can bring about world peace where we can end the negativity of the past so it can no longer last in the lives of our community. Yes, indeed. One of the things I would like you to do, what I'd like you to do right now is to please start to see things from a positive perspective once again And in us seeing it from a positive perspective, we'll be able to bring positive results. And one of the things that we're focused on at this time is the youth within our community. Many of our youth are still caught up in the demonic and satanic mindset of Satan, which wants to no problem in killing each other and hating each other and trying to sell drugs in our community and to be alcoholics and druggies themselves. The bottom line is all of those negative things of being self-destructive to their people and even to themselves needs to be stopped. This is our future generation, and we cannot allow our future generation to be flushed down the toilet. Our future generation needs to be saved, and what we need to do right now is to see the bright light of God and Jesus the Christ going into the minds and hearts of our teenagers and our young adults that are caught up into the gang wars and want to kill and destroy each other and want to steal from each other and sell drugs and do all kind of crazy and negative things that are very terrible to our community. But with us seriously seeing that bright light of God's divine love and Jesus' divine love going into their minds and hearts, bright of God and Jesus' divine love will totally cleanse all of that hatred, the desire to kill, the desire to want to destroy each other's lives, the desire to steal, rape, even commit suicide. All of these kind of crazy things and all of this insanity can truly come to an end through the awesome and amazing power of God and Jesus the Christ. And at that time when Jesus gave us this formula earlier, the beautiful thing about it was that he said he would reach into their minds, he would reach into their hearts and pull out all of that negativity. And when we focused on that at that time, we spoke to each and every one that was a part of our visualization, that they should see the hand of Jesus the Christ also going into the mind and the heart of all of those youth. And seeing Jesus reaching into their minds and hearts and pulling out all of the hatred, all of the desire to kill each other, all of the desire to steal from one another and to sell drugs in the community and to do all kind of terrible and twisted and negative things to our people and even to themselves. Jesus said he would take all of that negativity away from them, and he would cleanse their minds and hearts from all of that negativity. And all I could say is I was very glad to see that not only did Jesus say it, but Jesus did it. And that was a very powerful and wonderful thing to see. Because in seeing that, what ended up happening, the gang wars were over. And I was very, very glad to see that Jesus allowed a miracle to come about that would bring about for the next 10 years no murdering in our school system. And our kids definitely went from being in a negative mindset into a positive mindset. And I was so very glad to see that even though we ended the gang war in 2010, it did not start up again in 2011 or even 2015. You know, when we pulled out of the school system, that's when it started again. But that was 10 years later. And the only reason again that that happened was because they didn't want to pay us a nickel, a dime, or a penny. And it became very difficult to do that as a volunteer and not get a dime or any money because you had bills and different things you had to pay. But anyway, getting back into this, not only are we going to look at the total transformation of youth in our community here in New York, but we are going to see it in all five boroughs. That's right, all five boroughs where violence is happening, where our kids are killing each other. Not only are we going to see it in the five boroughs, we're going to see it in Mount Vernon. We're going to see it in Yonkers. That's right. And we're going to see it all the way up in Newburgh, where there's a black community there as well, community where we're starting off in New York. And next, we're going to go to Chicago. We're going to go to Atlanta. We're going to go to other places where this same serious problem is actively taking the lives of our youth. So all I can say at this time is that what I want you to do, once again, is to visualize and see that bright light in the youth of New York City, in Mount Vernon City, Yonkers City, and in the Newburgh City, and basically all of those kids that are in those gangs, and even the ones that aren't, because some of them are thinking about joining into gangs. But the bottom line is, being that they're not in it right at this moment, I don't want to leave them out the picture. We're talking about kids that are in the gangs and kids that are in our community. We're seeing that bright light going into both of them. And that's the bright light, once again, of God's divine love and Jesus' divine love. And being that that bright light of God and Christ is there, it's flowing into their minds and hearts, cleansing away all negativity. And as we said before, we are now seeing the hand of Jesus the Christ going into their minds and pulling all that negativity out, all those negative thoughts, going and reaching into their hearts and pulling out all that negativity of their feelings and their desires of doing negative things. All of those negative things are being pulled out of their hearts and being totally removed and replaced by the divine love of God and the divine love of Jesus the Christ. And being that that is the case, I'm very glad to see that we had successful results back at that time. And now we're going to have successful results once again. But all we have to do is be strong believers and know that we will be also strong achievers. But if we're going to be doubting Thomases or doubting Thomasinas, it will water down what we are trying to do. So make sure that you keep your mind up on high and know that goals and dreams can and will truly fly, definitely fly. So let us see beyond a shadow of a doubt that God and Jesus is here to bless us and to help us out. And they've done it in the past, and they can do it in the present. But the bottom line is, once again, we need to see it, believe it, in order for us to receive it. And once we are willing to see it and believe it, from there we can definitely start to make our way to a serious, brighter, and positive day for our people in our community and even people in the world community. So again, that is one aspect of what we really wanted to do, end the violence of our youth in the state of New York, because we do have a lot of our kids being murdered at this time. And we need to stop the murdering. So that's one thing. The second thing, which is a very, very important situation as well, and that is to end the violence of racist white police officers, because many of them have been killing our youth as well, and our women, and of course our men. But the bottom line is that they always say, well, oh, yeah, he was about to shoot me, so I had to shoot him first. But when you have handcuffs behind your back and you're being handcuffed and you don't have any gun a knife or anything on you, because they already patted you down and, you know, took everything away from you. And 9 out of 10, you probably didn't have it on you to begin with. But the bottom line is, the racist police officer knows all he has to do is say that he was threatened and he was about to be killed, so he had to kill this black person. And because he tells that to the judge always pats him on the back and shakes his hand and says, okay, you know, you did a good job. You killed that guy because he was going to kill you. But when you got handcuffs behind your back, how can you lie and say that, you know, this guy was a threat to you and getting ready to shoot and kill you? That doesn't even make any sense. But these guys get away with that all the time. And that's the reason why they feel that they could kill black people with no problem at all. And because there's such a racist justice system, that when you're dealing with these racist judges and police officers together, you're dealing with a situation where they are focused on doing this over and over again because they know they can get away with it. And our people constantly hear off and on about how black people are being murdered by police officers. And I'm not going to say that every time a white police officer kills a black person that it's always a racist situation, because sometimes, you know, a black person might have been robbing a store or, you know, robbing a bank or something like that, and then a police officer runs in there and the guy has a gun and he's shooting at the police officer and the police officer kills him. That is understandable. But like I said before, when you got handcuffs behind your back and they've already handcuffed you and then they put a gun up to your head and just pull the trigger and kill you, that is what you call ice cold racism. And these are things that, unfortunately, white racists do to our people on a regular. And it's not always a situation where their life is being threatened. A lot of times it's not even a threat situation. They know if they say, oh, yeah, he was getting ready to kill me, so I had to kill him, you know. And the judge is going to agree with that because they're going to take your word over, even if there's 5 or 10 witnesses, they're going to take that. But the only way that blacks have been able to actually get any success out of bringing these racist police officers into a courtroom is when you get a protest behind it. You get a few hundred people that, because there were 5 or 10 witnesses there, they end up getting a group of lawyers and things like that to come back and try to go to another court where there's a judge that will not be a racist, but that will be a fair judge. And hopefully when the final word comes out on what will happen with that, that judge, that's the fair judge, will say, hey, you know what? You know, you got all these witnesses here that saw you kill him, and you killed him when he had handcuffs behind his back. So I don't see how he could be a threat to kill you. So you're going to have to do some jail time. So once in a blue moon, we have heard about, you know, white police officers doing jail time. But the majority of the time, they don't do no time, not a day, a week, or an hour in jail, when they've done, you know, racist murders against our people. So right now, what I would like to do is to focus on that as well. What I would like us to do, again, is have our eyes closed and to see that bright light of God's divine love and Jesus's divine love flowing into the minds of police officers in New York State. And let that light flow into their minds. Let that light flow into their hearts. And instead of killing us for no reason, just so they could go in the corner with their friends and start giggling and laughing about the fact, yeah, I just killed another nigga today, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff. We don't need to have that kind of crazy conversation that they have amongst themselves. We need to do what we can spiritually and physically to stop the murdering of our people, whether it comes from our youth in the gang wars or whether it comes from white racist police officers killing our people for no reason, and they need to stop that murdering. Anyway, to make a long story short, once again, let us see that light shining 7 times brighter than the sun, flowing in their minds, flowing in their hearts, and seeing the hand of Christ Jesus reaching into their minds, pulling out all those negative thoughts of hatred and wanting to people because they know they can get away with it. Also reaching into their hearts, the hand of Jesus, pulling out all the negative desires of what they want to do and feelings of what they want to do. Like, yeah, this week I'm going to see if I can kill at least one or two of them, you know, because I know I could get away with it. You know, that kind of negative insanity needs to stop. And we want to see God's divine love and Jesus' divine love cleanse all these police officers' minds and hearts from desiring to kill our people. We are tired of hearing it on the news. We are tired of hearing it from different brothers and sisters that heard about it. And we are just tired of that type of situation coming about, and we don't do anything about it but just complain about it. We need to pray about it. We need to visualize it. We need to utilize the spiritual power of God and Christ to actually end this negativity. And like I said before, we were able to end the gang wars, so I know when they cleansed the minds, Jesus cleansed the minds of the youth and pulled them out of the gangs, I know we can also end the murdering of these racist white police officers murdering our people. It's not even a question of whether it might happen or maybe it could happen. It definitely has already been done, but we have to believe it beyond a shadow of a doubt that God and Jesus are going to bless us and help us out and protect us with a shield of protection around our children, our women, and our men. And the thing about it is we know that this is something that has already been done. We just have to see it, believe it, and we will receive it. The ending all of these murders that are racist murders upon our people. We do not need to experience this anymore. We need to be set free from racist murdering from white racist police officers.
Mm-hmm.
So through the power of God and Jesus the Christ, may their divine love flow through their minds, flow through their hearts, and totally cleanse and purify their minds and hearts from wanting to kill and destroy our people.
Mm-hmm.
And we are worthy of seeing this come about. All we have to do is know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this white racism, murdering and killing our people, no longer needs to exist. And world peace and even peace in our community can truly come about. But we have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God and Jesus can truly work this out, where all of this negativity will no longer exist, but God's new reality of joy, peace, and happiness for the whole human race can come about. So our final focus is this. Let us now see the pure and awesome and amazing power of God's power in the pure light of God's divine love and Jesus' divine love. See it going through every single mind of people in the human race. And as it goes through every single mind in the human race, let their minds be cleansed of all evil, wickedness, and negative thoughts of killing each other, destroying each other's lives, raping one another, stealing from one another, and even committing suicide, having their hearts and minds filled with so much self-hatred that they are at the point where they're ready to commit suicide. All of that can now be totally erased and replaced by the very, very powerful energy of God and Christ, divine love. And now, see the hand of Jesus the Christ once again reaching into their minds, pulling out all those negative thoughts that are just totally satanic and demonic and negative, and releasing that, erasing it, and totally removing it from the minds of people around the world, the whole human race. And see Jesus reaching also into their hearts and pulling out all that negativity so that no longer can their hearts be filled with hatred and the desire to kill each other, to destroy each other's lives, to steal from each other, to take advantage of each other, to enslave each other, to do all these negative and terrible things that have been done to people on planet Earth for the thousands and thousands of years. So now we're looking at ending all of this insanity to the human race, and now we're seeing it totally replaced by God's divine love and Jesus's divine love. All of this madness is now totally erasing all the negativity in the world. And now, instead of it being a world of pain, sorrow, and agony, now it is a world of joy, peace, and happiness. And we are so very, very glad to see that God's new reality is here to be a blessing to you and me. All we have to do is truly believe it, and we will receive it, and know for a surety that our time has now come about where wonderful and positive and great things can truly come about. Mm-hmm. And I know for a fact that this is something that we can do to bring about positive change in our community and in the world community through the spiritual formula that was given to us by Jesus the Christ. And we saw positive results come back where for 10 years we did not have violence in our schools. And I got many awards for that, and I do give thanks and all praise and honor to God and Jesus the Christ. For he reached his hand into the minds and hearts of all those gangbangers and ended the violence that was going on. And now we are seeing it once again where he's reaching his hand and arm into the minds and hearts of racist police officers and in the minds and hearts of the world to end the hatred, the anger, and the desire to kill and destroy each other's lives, to steal from each other, to hate each other, to want to rape each other, and to even commit suicide. All of that insanity will now be totally erased and replaced in the divine love of God, and the divine love of Jesus the Christ will be the dominant energy on planet Earth. And being that that will be there, there will be God's new reality of a planet of peace, love, joy, and happiness and respect for people here on planet Earth. And all I can say is I am definitely very thankful to see that God is bringing about a wonderful new reality for you and for me, for all of us to see that God has the ability to really bring about awesome and amazing things. And once again, I do thank Jesus the Christ for sharing that spiritual formula with me. And now I'm sharing it with you, but to know for a fact that this is something that is very powerful. And we had the positive results in the past, and we can have the powerful results in the present. But in order for us to see it, we have to believe it. In order for us to bring it about, we have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God and Jesus can truly bless us and help us out. These are things that is not just a possibility or maybe or could be, but these are things that have already been done. But we have to know that it has been done. We have the ability, and we have already committed it at this time. But we have to keep our minds up on high and continue to see that the human race has just been set free, not only our community, but other communities around the world, and our people who truly want to live positive, healthy, and prosperous lives can live that. But the bottom line is we have to believe that we have the ability to bring these things about. And once we start to believe it, we will start to receive it. So anyway, at this time, I'm really glad to see that we have the ability to bring this powerful spiritual formula of Jesus to Christ out into our community and to the world community, and to stop the negativity that has been plaguing our people and plaguing the people of the world. So now the insanity of humanity can be totally erased and replaced by the divine love of God and Jesus the Christ. And I give thanks unto Jesus once again for blessing me with that spiritual formula. Because for 10 years, we had no murders in the school. And I was very, very thankful that Jesus actually brought forth a miracle that was awesome, amazing, and spectacular. And being that he brought that wonderful and amazing miracle to us, we were able to get some awesome and amazing and wonderful results. These are things that we can do, but our people just need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is something that through God and Jesus we can bring them about. But if we're going to be doubting Thomases and doubting Thomasinas, then of course that means that it's not going to work for us. But if we're going to be strong believers, then we're also going to be strong achievers that can bring great and wonderful things about, that can truly change our lives and change the people's lives in our community and change the lives of people in the world community. But we have to see it and believe it in order for us to receive it. And with that being said, now I was going to say to Brother Ron, we could play the situation with the commercial right now, and afterwards,
you have to come on as well. You have your listeners on now. Want me to open the mics?
Okay, no problem.
Okay, 718-669, your mic is open.
718, can you hear it? Okay, well, they might be in deep meditation.
718-669, unmute yourself.
They might be in deep meditation or asleep. I'm not sure, brother. Well, is that being true?
813-531. Your mic is open.
Good evening, everyone. I was listening and praying at the same time. I totally agree to everything that you said. And it is time for us to come together as one and start praying and looking and depending to Jesus, knowing that he can do anything. But it's a scripture when you pray that he says, when you are sincere from your heart, he hear you in his ears and he go to work. His word will not come by void to him. So when we pray, be sincere. Because God look at the heart of man and not what we say, but what's in our heart. I've been praying for these young people. I cannot even look at the news for crying. Crying out to Jesus. How these young people shoot each other. Singers. Getting shot. Rappers are dying. But it's not over. Because God is powerful than anything. And the word of God can stand up against anything. But let us who have other sisters and brothers that know the word of prayer and walk by faith and not by feeling, totally depend on Jesus. We in a rough time. When I was coming up, the things that I see these young people doing and saying, it hurts my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And these parents, we need to pay for these parents who want to be friends to their sons and daughters, and who want to be young and party and smoking and drinking with them. Oh, we need to pray. And the word of God said also that the older women teach the young women.
These
older women who have a right, we have a job to do. We're not 21. We're not 35. We are seniors.
Dang.
And God is looking to us to do what he said in his word.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can do it now or you can answer him later. And we also need to stand up for right.
Amen.
And not keeping our mouth closed or don't say nothing because we don't want nobody to get mad with us. We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. The truth won't stand up because God is righteousness. So we have to take a stand. Open your mouth and speak.
Amen to that.
We have to do this. And the only way we're going to be able to do it and stand is with the power of God.
Yay, Shama.
It got to be a change. It's 2023, and God have allowed us to still be here. And we have to be mothers and grandmothers to these kids that we see is doing wrong. We have to reach out in love. They're already messed up. They're already tore up. Ain't no need talking about you this and you that. You cover them with the love of God. And reach their hand out. And not a draw them. Don't step out on your own because you have no power, no strength. But you get on your knees and talk to God and be prepared and have your ammunition, which is the word, because the word don't stand. What we say, it'll just bounce off.
Go ahead.
But give them love. Love. It's what God is all about.
That's right.
Tear wall down. And I'm going to tell you something else we have to do. Wherever we go, wherever we stand, when there's confusion, when you walk in that presence, peace is supposed to show up. That's right. I'll be there for you. Because if we are walking with Jesus, he's about love and peace and love.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's confusion, the atmosphere is supposed to change when we come.
Supposed to change.
It got to change. If it don't change, we got to stop and get on our knees and ask God to cleanse us, wash us, dip us in the blood and the water of Jesus Christ. That's what we have to do.
That's right.
We have to put on the whole armor of God. Because some people ain't going to like us. They don't think we are holy and all that stupid mess. It ain't holy. God, Spirit is in us.
That's
He depends on us to do what he has commanded us to do.
Go ahead.
So now, if we can reach out to a stranger, we should be able to reach out to our family. Because we got some family members that done backslid, that went to another God, done put him down. And we have to be an example to our neighbors, our relatives, strangers. Wherever we go, our light supposed to shine. Because we don't know what a person's going through. We don't know why they're talking. But everywhere I go, I say, good morning, everybody. And I wave my hand. And they say, oh, good morning. Change the atmosphere when I walk in. Because I'm walking in with the power of Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and my Savior. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Go ahead.
And I will not be quiet.
Hey,
he brought me a mighty long ways. I could have been dead sleeping in my grave. But the hand of Jesus, I'm still here. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. And we who know the truth, we just keep our mouth open and not closed. Don't worry about it. What people say. And I tell everybody, you don't have to listen to what I say. But it's another scripture in the Bible I love. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can do it now or you can do it when everybody stand up there to him. So now you can do what you want to do because you've grown and you used to, but now they buried my cousin today. And I said to his mama, he was ready. He knew where he was going. He loved Jesus. His mother was on drugs when she was carrying him. And he was born of cocaine baby, and he was having spasms and body shake, and he vomit. What you call that? A heart condition. And when I looked at him, I know something was wrong with him. And he said, no, he's nothing wrong with him. He's nothing wrong. I said, give him to me. I let him fill my heart, fill my spirit. In the name of Jesus, I command seizures, blackout, headaches, heart condition. Sign up with the word of God. He died, y'all. I came and got him. But all that stuff, because I spoke what God said, his word.
Yes.
He said he supposed to been dead when he was born. He lived to be 27 years old.
My God.
Smiling, beautiful personality. And when you came around him, he had a smile that you couldn't do nothing but want to hug or kiss him. He loved Jesus. And I told his mama, I said, we buried my nephew, my other nephew, 3 months ago. And he used to be lovers of men, lovers of boys. But when I came back home from California, I sat down and had to talk to him under the tree and told him, I'm not going to accept this spirit because it's not of God. Let me take you to the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Adam was the first man that was created. And from him came Eve, which is a woman. Now, you show me where God say man can be with man and women can be with women. Show me. He say, Auntie, I'm going to tell you because I want you to go to heaven. Because if you die, you're going to hell. And you have time to repent. But you got to be sincere from your heart. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia now. He called me and said, Auntie, I'm so glad we had that talk in the backyard. I got a girlfriend. I don't even desire them. If somebody, you know, sometimes people know what you used to do. They'll come back with that foolishness. But I just thank God that I'm a soldier for him. And I'm a stand for Jesus. I'm a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. I have a business with all my life. This is what I tell people. But I met Jesus. I was pregnant, but I wasn't pregnant. It was a snake in me. And God let me see it. I was black as the color black, but I'm not dark skinned, I'm light skinned. But my sister said, when you looked in the mirror, God let you see you was your same color.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want you to have a stroke or a heart attack. I said, I wouldn't have no stroke or heart attack. You should have told me. Because people see me, they didn't want to talk to me, but run. I said, why are they running? What's wrong with them? Because I couldn't see. See, I was standing on the spiritual realm.
That's right.
And they were standing on the flesh realm. It's a different, baby, when you're in that spirit realm.
Yes.
I could see. I was telling people what was going on. Mm-hmm. The doctors told me that when I get 5 or 6 months, it was on bus inside of me. I said, oh, you don't know Jesus. You come on over here. Let me talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going nowhere. God got me. My husband was playing football, and my sister went to work. So I said, get up and get on the toilet. And that's what I did. I called my friend who live in East L.A. I lived in San Fernando Valley, way up there. It takes you 2 hours to get to me. They got to me in 20 minutes. God cleared the freeway. I'm telling you what he'll do. Not what people say. I'm telling you what he'll do.
Yes, he will.
Because I trust him. They're going to give me a hysterectomy because they said I was rotting all down. And then when they took the blood, it stained so bad. I told them, I said, y'all go do what y'all need to do. They said, well, your doctor is still in surgery. I said, okay. Well, I need to talk to my dad. They say, if she get down, she don't pass out, she don't lose so much blood. I said, that's clean to me. That poison had to come out. What you talking about? When I walked to the bathroom, the angels were surrounding me. When I waved my hand, people was getting up out the bed saying, I want to go home. God was healing. All I was doing was waving my hand, praising him, thanking him. And I move to the left, the angels move to the left. People say angels ain't real. Oh, yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
And when my doctor came in there, I said, before you put me to sleep, check me. She said, tell me some more about your God. Everything back in order. We can't do nothing. Telling you about Jesus. I know what he'll do. He is who he say he is.
Yes, he is.
And I tell people, don't live your life by other people. And what they doing, it must be all right. You better eat the word of God. Because it'll come a time that you won't be able to pick that Bible up. Keep living. You have to have that word in the deepest of your stomach. And when it gets ready to come up, it's like a ball of fire. And when it come out your mouth, you can quote the scriptures that you need to quote. Because you got to know what scriptures to use when you need water. You just can't say, stop, leave me alone. Spread not that stuff for evildoer. The Lord is the light of my salvation. Who shall I fear? What you talking about?
That's right.
The word of God. We need to pray and read that word.
Yes, indeed, my sister. And I'm really glad that you shared your positive feedback with us, because it is very true. Many of the things that you were saying was right on.
And can I tell you about my eye surgery? Can I tell you about my, I had a cataract in my right eye.
Well,
and
in
my left eye. I just want to tell you, please. I won't be here 5 minutes.
Okay,
go ahead.
We only got a few minutes left, but go ahead.
Okay. I'm still under my doctor. I respect him. They took a cataract out of my eye. That Friday before last, my doctor told my son, said, the reason why we wouldn't talk to your mama in the operating room, because we didn't want her to panic or jump up, and it wouldn't have been good for her. Her right eye cataract was so big. If we'd have did that laser surgery where she wanted, it could have busted her eye. And she wouldn't be able to see it all, or it could have killed them. I told myself, well, I'm glad you feel that way. But I prayed and talked to Jesus before I had this surgery. And I wasn't worried about nothing, because I told him to guide your hand. I'm already healed. You just got to take this mess out of your eyes. When I went back the second day, I was reading the alphabet. She said, you can't read. I said, let me tell you something. When you trust in God, baby, you can go through a wall. What you talking about? I'm seeing. I'm reading. She said, this is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. I prayed for him. He fell down the stairs. He put the crutches down. What you talking about? I just give God all the glory and all the praises for who he is and healing my eye. I'm through. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, my sister, once again, for sharing your positive feedback, because you were definitely on point with this, and that was really great. And basically right now, what I would like to do, because we do have one other person that has some comment or feedback on what they wanted to say.
Woman of God, I thank God for you, because you confirm everything what God has spoke through me today. So you keep doing what you're doing. You keep telling your testimony, stand for Jesus, and that is so true. People need to stand and open their mouths. Stop saying what you're going to do, but do it. So I just thank God for your testimony, how you overcome. We overcome by other people's testimony, and I truly enjoyed your testimony. So you just
thank
keep
you.
Doing what God say do.
Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate you.
And I would love to get your number.
Mr. Rawson, give it to you.
Okay.
Okay, so now we got about 9 minutes left. And yeah, so we don't have much time before, you know, our show, you know, ends. But like I said, you know, I'm really glad to see that, you know, this is something that came about, you know, with the comments from my sister and yourself as well, because with us being able to keep that positive mindset in God and Christ, we can definitely make some things come about that need to come about in our personal lives and also in our community. Because as we all know, when you walk through our community, you see a lot of folks suffering, you know, because of poverty, being out on the street, being druggies and alcoholics and all of that kind of crazy stuff. But the bottom line is that these are things that can be overcome and dealt with. But we just need to know that as a people, we can utilize our spiritual unity. Because even in what Jesus said and what the Lord really said on this particular situation, he said, even if it's just two or three of you that come together in my name, he said, I shall be there in the mix to bless. And that's the thing, that you have to be in oneness with God. You have to be in oneness with Jesus. And you have to be in a righteous state of mind that what you're trying to do is going to be something positive that can really help people instead of just trying to be selfish and want to, you know, put a ton of money in your wallet or put a ton of money in your purse just for you. But when we start to really focus on being a person that can, number one, start to see things from a positive mindset, that can really start to change things. Number two is to start to see things from a spiritual perspective as well, and that is in God and Jesus. But once we start to see things from a spiritual perspective where God and Jesus can truly be a blessing to us and help us out, that's when we're going to start to see great results come about. But the bottom line is that we have to believe it and see it in order for us to receive it. You can't be doubting Thomas's and say, I'll do a prayer, but I know this ain't going to work. But even Jesus said, because you believe that I was going to heal you, that's why your healing came about. He didn't say, well, because you're a doubter and really think that this is a waste of time for me to try to heal you, I'm still going to heal you anyway. Jesus never said nothing crazy like that. But what he did say is that you need to be a believer that I have the ability to be a blessing to you. And when we start to see things from that perspective, that's when the blessings will truly, truly come about. So all I can say at this point is that I'm really glad to see that we have the ability to really bring about some positive change in our community, to stop the gang wars again, to stop racist white police officers killing our people, and to start to see prosperity and wealth start to flow into our lives of our people and into our communities so that we can come out of poverty and out of jail and all these other things that our people do not need to be in. We are worthy of living positive and successful lives, but we have to change our mindset from negativity to positivity. And I know we have, many of us have been brainwashed into wanting to be in that negative mindset, but we don't have to stay in it at all. We do not need to allow Satan to seize our minds to keep us thinking from a state of hatred and anger towards ourselves and towards the lives of others. But what we can do, like you said, reach out to help other people, to help our youth, to help our adults, to help our community, and even to help the world community. And we can bring peace, love, and happiness as the new reality of God and Christ in the human race. So all I can say at this point is, Brother Ron, we just have a few minutes left. If you could play the music, because we only got four minutes left right now, If you could play the music for us, that would be good.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your song, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in control,
y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Find the praise
within your heart.
Within your heart.
Hold it close.
Hold it close.
Don't ever.
He's in.